Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, and the 13th verse. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, and verse 13. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The book of Exodus, chapter 15 and verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. It's a wonderful thing, beloved friends, to have things that we can reflect on and remember. And the children of Israel here had just been delivered by the Lord from Pharaoh and all his house, and delivered from the Red Sea. And it was a time where they could truly rejoice in what the Lord had done. They could look back at it all and stand amazed at what the Lord had wrought. And they got something to sing over, hadn't they? You know, often it's felt that the pathway to heaven is hard and rugged, and through much tribulation, which we know it is, for the most part. But you know, there are times of singing. And we find here with the dear children of Israel, they got this blessed song to sing of praise unto the Lord for what he had done in delivering them. And it was a time of sweet reflection, wasn't it? Now, look in your heart and mine. Have we not got those things we can look back on where we were able to sing? And as we look back and reflect on them, it so often humbles us, doesn't it, and melts our hearts at the goodness of the Lord in granting such times. But you see, there's no standing still for the child of God. Now, let me qualify that, because there are times with the children of Israel where they were commanded to stand still. But what I mean is this: every moment we live, every breath we draw, we are hastening to eternity. So in that sense, there's no standing still. And with the children of Israel, they couldn't dwell at the Red Sea all their days, could they? The Lord had set before them the land of Canaan, which is a beautiful type. It's only a type of heaven. It was a land that was so different than what they were wading through in the wilderness. It was a land full of milk and honey. and they were to venture toward that land. And so as they've come through this Red Sea, the Lord had wonderfully brought them out of Egypt. He had put them in that right way, which we read of in the 107th Psalm, the way to the promised land. And here, as they look back at their deliverance and how the Lord had so worked for them and in them, they had to acknowledge how great their God was to them. And they could say this, couldn't they? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. You know, it's a beautiful description of the Lord, isn't it? Glorious in holiness. You know, the very nature, and I speak this with much reverence, of the Lord is holiness. And he will bring every one of his dear children to love holy things, the holy things of God. And a desire to be holy. We are told in the Word of God, aren't we? Be ye holy, as I am holy. And really, we should ever strive for holiness. Because that is the very nature of God, you see. Glorious in holiness. Now, this is what they were enabled to say concerning their God. He was glorious in holiness. And then, fearful in praises. Oh, that we may be given that fearful heart to truly fear the Lord and to praise his holy name. And doing wonders. And can you not look back this morning over the way the Lord has led you and in providence? And in grace, and they could truly say concerning the Lord, doing wonders. The Lord had done wonders for them, hadn't he? Think of the wonders of bringing them out of Egypt. Think of the wonders of the deliverance at the Red Sea. And now they've come to the other side and they can look back at it all. You know, the hymn writer said, didn't he, it is sweet to look back, but it's sweet too to look forward. You see, with the eye of faith given by the Lord to his dear children, they can look back and see the wonders he has wrought, and yet they look forward, faith will, to the promised land. Canaan's happy land. But then, thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. You think of the deliverance of the Red Sea, just to briefly tarry there. You know, it was not just that the Lord was to divide the sea and make a way for them to go through. It was that he was to destroy all the enemies. And here they acknowledge it before the Lord, thou stretchest out thy right hand. That is the hand of power, you see. The earth swallowed them. They were all destroyed. Not one was left. solemn sight, wasn't it? You know, I often think of how they must have felt, the children of Israel, as they saw all the hosts of the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Solemn, searching sight, wasn't it? And yet it was a most wonderful deliverance. And then the words of our text. Now this seemed to so rest upon me, thinking of the service this morning. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Now, in this first part, there are three precious things, really, that seem to so rest upon me. First of all, they could see the great mercy of the Lord in it all. You know, the more we know of our own heart and of our sin and the vileness of our hearts, we stand amazed the Lord still has mercy on us. And they were taught what poor, wretched sinners they were, and yet how merciful the Lord was to them. His mercy runs, one of the hymn writers said, an endless round. Oh, his mercies. And you think of the great mercies we're favoured with each day and each hour. Dear hymn writer, Mr. Burnham, I think it was, said, mercies that are transportingly sweet. And here they could look at it all, the mercy the Lord had granted in bringing them out. He could have left them to perish in Egypt in their sin. But he brought them out in his mercy and in his love. He delivered them because he was merciful to them at the Red Sea. And here they acknowledge his mercy. I often quote that beautiful couplet of the hymn. It's very sweet to me. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. It's a good prayer, that is, you know. And you think of the publican, how many times the dear man had to come seeking mercy. Well, you look at so many characters through the Gospels that came to the Lord Jesus. The blind man, the dear woman with her daughter grievously vexed with the devil. They all came on one ground. And we need often to remember that. They came pleading for mercy. Oh, they did. You see, sin is the root of all trouble, of all sorrow, of all darkness, of all affliction. And that's why they came pleading for mercy. They felt the sin, they felt the afflictions, they felt the trouble, they felt the darkness. Yet they plead for mercy. And here he says, thou in thy mercy. What a wonderful thing it is. In 2018, we still have a merciful God. When you think of the wickedness and sin of this world today, it doesn't matter what you hear or read, the terrible things that are taking place, I don't have to remind you. We stand amazed, the Lord still has mercy. You think of the mercy shown to us. And I'll tell you what, if you have a taste of it, what will be the effect of it in your soul and mine? It'd melt us that the Lord should ever have mercy on us, on me. And may we be enabled by the help of the Lord to plead for more and more mercy to be known to us. And what will be the effect? It'll humble you in the dust, poor soul. Oh, it will. A taste of his mercy. The mercy of our God. You read the 136th Psalm, I think it is. Every verse closes, for his mercy endureth forever. And there's the sinner's hope. If his mercy didn't endure forever, there'd be no hope for us. So there's that first blessed theme in the text, you see. The mercy of our God. You think how merciful the Lord was to Abraham, as merciful to Isaac, to Jacob, and those patriarchs of old. His mercy runs an endless round. Thou in thy mercy. And you see, there's this point we need to prayerfully think of this morning. They were acknowledging before the Lord his great mercy to them. It's a wonderful thing when we can truly acknowledge his mercy, isn't it? You know, if somebody gives you something and they don't acknowledge it, it hurts, doesn't it? And you think how hurtful and grieving it must be to the Lord when his dear people don't acknowledge his mercy. Oh, the mercy of our God. And may the Lord favour us to plead more and more for it. And may we be recipients of it. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people. You see, in his mercy, he leads them forth. What do we read in Psalm 107? And he, the Lord, led them forth by the right way. Look how he led them out of Egypt in his mercy. Look how he led them through the Red Sea in his mercy. Is he leading you and is he leading me? Well, let's come low. Have we the desire to be led by the Lord? You know, if you read in the book of Psalms, the dear psalmist, particularly David and others, how many times they ask the Lord to lead them and to teach them. And that will be your continual prayer and mine if we're his dear children. And we're rightly exercised. Lead me and teach me, dear Lord. And we need leading in the steps of providence, don't we? You think how Abraham's servant was led to seek a wife for Isaac. What does he say? I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And he acknowledged how the Lord had wonderfully led him there. He hadn't gone by chance, had he? And you know, we need leading in so many things, don't we? And here they could see, as they look back, how he led them out of Egypt, as I've already said, how he led them through the Red Sea, and they could acknowledge his wonderful leading. Oh, they could. And you think in your pathway, can you see how the Lord has led you? Led you out of the world, led you to his feet, led you to confess all your sin, led you to plead for mercy, led you to look to him for all that you need in providence and in grace. Oh, to be among those that are led. And you see, the apostle Paul took it up beautifully, didn't he? Concerning those that are being led. And it's a mark of sonship. If we are really being led by the Spirit of God, it's a mark we are the children of God, sons of God, heirs of heaven. And what does the apostle say? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But some of the places, some of the places the Lord leads us into, the flesh will shrink from them. Oh yes. When we are led into temptations. Not that the Lord leads his people into temptations, but what so rested upon me? You see, you look at the dear Lord Jesus, this is what so rested upon me. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He hadn't come there by chance. And you know, there are many of God's dear children that are led into bitter temptations. Oh, they are. They don't come into them by chance. But you look how the dear Redeemer, in all those 40 days and 40 nights, endured that bitter temptation of Satan. And you know, if we got a real religion, we shall know what it is when we are sorely tempted by the devil. The old preachers, you know, they used to say, if we don't know anything of real temptations, we haven't got any religion that's real. Because if you got a real religion, poor soul, that God is the author of, he will finish it in his time and in his way. If we got that real religion, Satan would do all he can to try and overthrow it. And he attempt the child of God like he did the Lord Jesus himself. Even to quote the word of God, it is written. And oh, how many times he will use the word of God to attack the child of God. Oh, he will. And you know, that was so rested upon me in the early hours of this morning, of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, those 40 days and 40 nights. And you know, sometimes when we walk in bitter temptation, it may be for a few hours, it may be for a few days, it may be for a few weeks. And we think ever so low, you think of the dear Redeemer. 40 days and 40 nights. He can sympathise, poor soul, with every tempted follower. For he was tried and tempted too. Or to succour every tempted burdened son. Now, we read in our text, thou in thy mercy has led forth the people. And you say, he'll lead them in his commandments, in his ordinances, in his ways. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to feel led in the sacred step of baptism, led to follow the Lord. It so rested upon me while you were singing, it seemed to come to me. In Psalm 77, there's two beautiful words, really. Just stepping back to the wonders the Lord alone had done, and we read, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. And as our text goes on to speak about the redeemed, he says here, thou hast in thy arm redeemed thy people. The sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. And then in the closing verse of Psalm 77, he says this, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And you see, they were to be led through this wilderness journey. It's like the sheep, you know, in the East. The shepherd always goes before. He leads the sheep along, you see. You think of dear David in that so well-known Psalm 23, how beautifully he speaks about the Lord being his shepherd and he speaks about this heavenly leading. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Then listen, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And oh, how the sheep need leading, you know. And he leads them into green pastures, doesn't he, beside the still waters. And do we not need leading into the Word of God? And leading into the realities in it. It may be, you wake up in the morning, you feel cast down, and Lord, do give me a token for good. And you go to the Word of God, and he leads you right to the Word that's suited to your very case. And that's very humbling, you know, how he's led you to it. And then he leads you into the realities in that Word. But then we need to be led how to pray, don't we? You know, it's a very searching point, really. We need to be led what to pray for. You think in our secret prayers and in the prayers in public, led what to pray for. Don't think we just got to pray for this because this one thinks we should or that one thinks we should. A dear godly man I used to be with on the Gospel Standard Committee, he was a very gracious man, and he used to say to me, you know, how we need the Lord to lead us in what we should pray for and what we should ask him for. And we need wisdom to do it, you see. And we have to be led to ask for wisdom, don't we? But I must hasten. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. They were redeemed people. which thou hast redeemed. I felt when this text dropped in, you know, what a beautiful description of the dear children of Israel. They were not their own. They were redeemed people. You know, if you and I are among the children of God, we'll be among those that are redeemed. And how are they redeemed? Well, the Apostle Paul says, the Apostle Peter rather says, not by corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, to be amongst those dear redeemed souls, purchased, you see, by the precious blood of Jesus. I've said before regarding this word redeemed, it means a great price has to be paid. I remember when I was a little boy going to market in Maidstone with my auntie, and she bought some sheep. And I was always quite interested in these sheep, you know. She said, and I said, they're a lovely flock of sheep, auntie. She said, yes, but she said I had to pay dearly for them. You see, they cost a lot. And you think of the great cost of redemption. And I speak it with much reverence. The heart blood of the dear Lord Jesus. Nothing short of this could redeem them. His own heart's blood. No wealth of this earth could redeem them, could it? We hear of people that are millionaires, and the list grows greater and greater. If you put all their wealth together, he'll never redeem one soul. But to be found amongst those that were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Now this is what he's speaking concerning these dear people, which thou hast redeemed. And you see, the dear servant of God Moses, as he penned this word, he speaks about these dear people to the Lord himself, talking to the Lord, which thou hast redeemed. Oh, we think of that beautiful word. I preached from it long, long ago, didn't I? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I have redeemed thee. And you know, you'll be the happiest soul in the chapel or throughout England, really, if the Lord told you that. I have redeemed thee. I've paid the price, that thy poor soul might be eternally saved and have heaven and live in heaven forever. I have redeemed. Oh, it's my soul's longing and desire the Lord would say that to us each. I may have told you this before, but you know, dear Mr. Woodcraft, the late servant of God, he used to live in a house in Morden in Bedfordshire. And the Lord spoke that word to him, you know. Fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. You know, the dear man was so full of the blessing of the Lord, he said, I looked up and out of the window, he said, he saw his brother walking by the window. And he said, Lord, do give him this blessing thou hast given me. You know, if the Lord favour you with it, you'll long for those around you to know the same blessing. Oh, you will. And you know, the hour came where the Lord spoke it to the dear man. Oh, he did. You see, this desire will be in the heart of the child of God to know they're redeemed and to know those that they love are redeemed to. And only the Lord can assure us. There's a good prayer, isn't there, in the hymn, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness to my heart that I am born of God. You know, I hope that's my prayer every day. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You see, he will guide them by his strength. Not their strength, not your strength, not my strength, but the strength of the Lord. What do we read in the Psalms? It's a beautiful word. The dear psalmist was enabled to say it, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And poor soul, you may have things before you today. How are you going to go forth in them? Don't try and go forth in them in your own strength, in your own power. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And there'll be those times when that's all you can do. You've got no strength in yourself. You're just weak and helpless. But I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And you know, that does not just apply to the Lord's dear children. That word was spoken concerning the Lord Jesus himself. When, well, it's vast, I realise this, but let me just hint at one or two things. First of all, when he was to go up to Calvary to suffer, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. See the willingness of the Saviour there. And when the Lord makes you willing, poor soul, you're about to go in the strength of the Lord God. You think of the dear Redeemer as he was to go up to Calvary, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And then you think in the Garden of Gethsemane, in all his agonies, how could he go? Not in his strength as a man, but in the strength of the Lord God. Verily man, yet verily God. And then you think of what he endured at Calvary. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And may that be a word in season for some poor seeking soul that today. Some years ago, one Good Friday, I preached from that at Braeburn. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And there was a dear man there, exercise about the ministry. And you know, when he spoke before the church and I chaired the meeting, it was the dear pastor at Blackwoods, to be clear. He said, you know, he never forgot that. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And that's how, when he declared it at the church meeting, when he went forth to preach, it really humbled me to think the Lord used me, sent me down to Braeburn to declare that word. It's a beautiful word, really, isn't it? And it may be with you. You've got things before you, afflictions, troubles, distresses. Don't try and go in your own strength, but go in the strength of the Lord God. Dependent upon him, you see. And where were they to go, just briefly, and then I must leave it. Where were they to go in the strength? To thy holy habitation. Of course, this really refers to heaven, to Canaan's happy land, which was set before them. This was the holy habitation they were to go to, and they were to go in the strength of the Lord God, guided by him. But, you know, there are holy habitations here in the earth. Well, the house of God, I trust this house of God has been made to some of us, and I desire it might be to all of us, a holy habitation. And are to go up there, you see, in the strength, guided by the Lord. What does he say? Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You may come up in the midst of weakness, but guided by the strength of the Lord. Strengthen your faith to believe that the Lord will wonderfully speak to you, appear for you, favour you with his presence. But then, of course, there's the holy habitation of heaven, where the poor sinner longs to be. The holy habitation, guided to that celestial city, like dear Christian was in the Pilgrim's Progress. Guided by the Lord to the celestial city, to crown the Lord, Lord of all, and bless his holy name forever. Amen.